today, we want to do a couple of things. We asked a couple of our students that absolutely have impacted my life through their testimony, some of the stuff they've done. Again, I could have them all share a testimony, and they would tell you that their experience is absolutely the best and the most important, but I had to pick. So I picked two of them, and I want them to share their story about the school with you. And I want to introduce a pastor from a different church, Lamp of God Ministry, and he's an associate pastor there, and he's been a great student and has an amazing testimony of what the school did for him, and that would be Pastor Adam Drum. Come up here, Pastor.
Good evening, everybody. Pastor Paul said, my name's Adam Drum. I'm the assistant pastor at Lamp of God Ministries in Covina. And first, I'd like to say really how honored I am to be asked to come up here in front of my fellow classmates, family, friends, the faculty and staff of the Rock Bible College and the Rock Church. It's truly an honor and a blessing in my life to be able to come up here tonight and just share with you a little bit about my testimony and what these last 2 years at the Rock Bible College have meant to me. Over the last 2 years, as I've had the opportunity to share with friends and family that I was attending Bible college, there really seemed to be two dominant questions that they would ask me. The first question that I was usually asked was, what type of degree would I get? And to that question, I would answer that it'd be an associate's in biblical studies. And for those who knew me, knowing that I already have a degree, they would then ask, you know, why are you going to another Bible college? And I would explain, it's a different course of study. It's just furthering myself. And then they would ask me, you know, why are you going to another Bible college, like I said? And that second question, why am I attending a Bible college, has really had a developing answer over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I would have answered that question and I would have said, I'm attending another Bible college so I can learn more about the Word of God and develop myself more as a minister and learn how to minister to people in a greater capacity. But if you were to ask me that question today, the answer would not be the same. And the Bible college did fulfill both of those things in my life. They have furthered my study of the Word of God. They have furthered my capacity as a minister. But what I didn't expect was that the Bible college would change me as a person. And for most of you will not know that I first attended the Rock Bible College in 2005. And after 3 weeks of classes, I dropped out. And most of you would ask, why did you drop out after 3 weeks? And within those first 3 weeks of classes, there was so much inside of me that had been revealed, so much of my life and my heart that needed work, that I ran away from it. I didn't like the way it looked. I wasn't interested at the time in making those changes in my life because I thought I was perfect. I didn't think I needed to change at all. And that's an honest answer. I wasn't ready. I wasn't willing to walk down that road and make changes in my heart that would be required of me and that were needed for me to be a better minister and a better person. And so in 2009, when I returned to the Rock Bible College, after that first night of classes, I realized something. That all of those things that I had ran away from were still there. They didn't leave by me running away. They didn't go away by me running away. They were still there. They were waiting for me. And they weren't so much waiting here at the college. They were waiting still here in my heart in some areas that still needed change. And after that first night of classes, I went home and I just said, Lord, I need your help. I don't know if I can walk down this road by myself. I don't know if I can do this. And God answered me. He said, you know what, Adam? I'm right by your side. I'm going to walk down this road with you. I'm going to take these steps with you. And I just really felt his peace come upon me. And I knew that although the next 2 years would be tough and it would be a challenge, I knew I could complete it because he said those words to me. And I also knew that had I set aside my pride and my arrogance in 2005, and had I asked him that same question, had I prayed that same prayer then, he would have given me the same answer. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, if you don't already know, that our God is the God of second chances. He is the God of second chances. So no matter where you're at, just know that. Just know that he is the God of second chances. And so what God began to do with me these last 2 years was open up a channel within me. I had this knowledge in my head from seminary. I had all this head knowledge, but I had never let it truly penetrate my heart. And through these classes the last 2 years, you know, God really performed what I called open heart surgery. And it was painful, and it was tough. But what it did was it finally opened up a channel to take everything that I had up in my head and finally get it to come into my heart where it was useful, where it could be used to impact people's lives and change the people that I came in contact with. And through these last 2 years at school, I've been challenged in so many ways. I've been challenged as a person, as a friend, as an employee, as a leader, as a Christian, and most importantly, as a pastor. And I have learned through these last 2 years to put myself to the side. And I have learned in these last 2 years, as our school motto up here says, to commit, to learn, and to grow in all areas of my life. And so I just want to close with these final words. First, to all of our instructors, I really just want to say thank you. Your words over the last 2 years are just permanently, you know, etched on my heart, and they're there forever. And I especially want to thank the instructors who didn't give us any finals. And, you know, from our first class, Pastor Dan Roth teaching on blood covenant, you guys remember. I mean, I left there like the old Memorex commercial. I was like, whoa, driving home like, whoa, what just happened? You know, and it was just amazing. And then all the way through our last class with Pastor Eleanor, where four of my fellow classmates got up and deposited a piece of their life into my heart permanently through the testimonies that they shared. And you know, only God could have foreseen that we as the class of 2011 would end with everybody in tears. Only God could have foreseen that. But you know what? It was okay. I don't think I'd have it any other way, because it was an amazing end to an amazing journey. And to my fellow classmates, I just want to say these words. May we always strive to live our lives in such a way that we may have the opportunity to echo the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. God bless you.
Good job, Adam. Like they say, don't give a mic to a preacher. But no, it was good. Good testimony. The next person was interesting. I met her. She came to our school interview, to interview for class. And so we talked, and I said, you know, I don't know if we have a place for you, because, I mean, she had an amazing job, and then she had a master from a prestigious university. So I was baffled as to why would you come in to Bible school? Even though we can teach a lot of things, it was people that have a career usually stick with their career. So, but I'm glad she did. I'm glad she stuck with it. And I asked her, so your testimony is very interesting, and I would like you to share it with the rest of the people that will be here tonight. So Ashley, coming up. Ashley Bratton.
Hello. I am still in shock that it's been 2 years since I started the very first class here at the Rock Bible College. 2 years. Some of you have been going at it even longer than that. Bravo to you. So a lot can happen in 2 years. We've seen each other through engagements, marriages. Some people have lost homes. Some people have gained homes, babies, new beginnings. It's been amazing. But I'm not a valedictorian, and I'm not a preacher. I'm just me. So I was asked to share a little bit of my story, and all I could think of was, which part? Which part? The part where I almost quit like a million times, or the part where I had to write Pastor Powell to beg him not to kick me out of the program because of my spotty attendance record. That first September that I joined the Bible College, I was traveling so much for my job that I slept in my own bed 7 days out of the month of September. Seven. And so, or the part where I lost my job 5 months after I bought a brand new car and almost hightailed it back to Colorado. But there's a lot of stuff that has gone on in 2 years, but that's not why I'm here to talk about. I'm not here to talk about that. The first thing that I've learned two things. The first thing that I've learned is that to trust God, that he never asks us to do something without giving us the grace to do it. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, 'I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support.' I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" So what was I doing 2 years ago? I can tell you exactly what I was doing. I was pouting. Pouting. I had no intention of going to Bible college. Not one bit. 2 years ago, I had just been laid off to the company that had moved me from Colorado to California. And I had, actually, what Pastor Paul was saying, I had been attending a master's program at a local university here, and I had 6 months left when they laid me off. So I decided to stick it out here in California. And then a month before graduation of that graduation, I was sitting here in the Rock Church at service when that bulletin started talking to me. Really? And I was about ready to complete my master's degree, and it kind of ticked me off that God was asking me to do this. I was a little upset. All I wanted to do was finish my master's program and hightail it back to Colorado, not start another 2-year program here in California. But I couldn't get rid of this nagging feeling to submit an application. So I did, and I really was hoping to be rejected. They didn't. So there I was. I had finished my last class of a very expensive master's program, and my last class was on a Saturday, and that very next Tuesday, I was back in a classroom seat. I had 4 days off. So I pouted. And I was a little perturbed at God because I knew the commitment that school takes. I knew that it takes time and energy and commitment, and I just didn't know if I had it in me to do that all over again. But every time we take a step out in faith with God, he meets us right where we're at. And so I pouted my way through the first set of classes like a spoiled brat, and while everyone else around me was sitting around excited and in love with God, I was ticked off and pouting. But I knew that when God calls you to do something and he puts that little nudge in your heart, to listen. So the second thing that I learned was to trust that he knows what he's doing even when we don't. In Jeremiah 29:11 is probably one of my favorite verses, for it said, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So as I continued on with my classes, friends and family seemed a little confused as to what I was doing. And I don't blame them, because when the classes started, this program, it was preventing me from moving back to Colorado, and it was preventing me from doing a lot of things, because when I wasn't traveling for work, I had my butt in a class every Tuesday and Thursday. But I didn't know what to tell them, and all I knew is that I really started liking these classes a lot, and God was doing something in me. He was changing me, and when I start something, it's tough to quit, even though I want to a million times. I never made any noise about this little commitment of mine and never talked much about it, and I quietly just plugged along. Far cry from my master's program. I shouted from the rooftops when I was doing that, and yet this time around, I just quietly plugged away. And I battled, just like all of you guys, I battled schedules and crazy schedules and lots of attacks and just thoughts and doubts. Because the term Bible school sounds like something that crazy religious fanatics do and wannabe preachers do. And that's not me. It's just me. But even though I'm not any of those, I'm someone who's hungry for God, and it was amazing to be in a room with so many other people that were hungry for God as well. And what I love about the classes here at The Rock is that the classrooms are filled with you, everyday people with everyday lives and everyday problems. And you all were just so hungry for God. You can feel it and you can sense it. And just like what this says, you were all there to commit, to learn, and to grow. So God tells us that when he starts something, he is faithful to complete it. And this chapter may be done, but the book is not. So big hugs to all of you who have gone through the ringer in order to be able to sit here tonight. Kudos to you. Big hugs, smile, turn to your neighbor and say, "We did it!"
One of the reasons we ask people to share from their different parts of lives is because people categorize Bible college and put it in a box. And this is who goes there, and this is who belongs there. And God is saying, anybody who's hungry and wants to grow in their deeper understanding of God, that's who belongs there. Not just a preacher, not just an evangelist, though many of those come out of here, okay? And I believe that to be true. I want to introduce this part. This is really important in our commencement speaker today. Pastor Jim always describes him as one of our pastors, executive pastor, 30 going on 60, because God has given him a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding, and the students were attest to that through his class on blood covenant. And so I'm grateful to introduce our pastor, Dan Roth. Go ahead and bring it.
Hello, everyone. Good night. Good evening. Oh, come on. That was weak. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Graduates, how are you guys doing tonight? All right. Now, come on, be honest. How many of you, I'm your favorite? No, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm just kidding. We have no favorites, but it's just an honor and a privilege to be here tonight, and just so awesome to see all your faces and just to say congratulations, you guys. You did it. You stuck through it. You learned. You read. You cried. You laughed. You did what it took to get here, and now what an awesome thing that it is that you guys have finished, and tonight you can say we did it, and now we're going to move on to what God has called us to in the next season of life. And so we're going to talk about that a bit tonight. But before we do, why don't we pray together before we go to the Word of God? I'm going to open up the Bible a bit, and we're going to talk about some things tonight. But I'm not just going to talk to the graduates here tonight. I'm also going to talk to all of you that are sitting here tonight, that maybe you came to honor somebody and to celebrate with them. But you know what? God's going to speak to you tonight. And so why don't we get our hearts prepared? You can just stay right where you're at. Just stay seated. And just let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the hearts and lives of these individuals that are graduating, as well as bringing all the people in tonight that you've brought from all over the area. Father God, maybe some family members have come from out of town. Lord, we thank you for your blessing on each and every person that's in attendance tonight. God, tonight as we open up your word, we pray that you would open it up to us. God, give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. And Lord, may we be the good ground where the word is sown tonight. Father God, as we open your word, we pray that you would open it up to us. Give us wisdom, understanding, not just information, Lord, but a revelation who you are and what you want for each and every one of our lives, God. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And God, we don't just ask this blessing on ourselves. God, also we would ask this blessing on all the churches that are preaching and teaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet. They're our brothers and sisters, Lord, and we love them. We don't think of ourselves as any better than them, but as co-laborers, workers together in your field, building your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we're all in agreement, and we say, amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can get them out. Go to the book of Daniel, last chapter of Daniel. There's a great verse in Daniel chapter number 12, and I thought it was appropriate for our graduates tonight, but as well for all of us to listen to. If I could, for a moment, just speak to our graduates for a second, is that there's a command from the Bible. Jesus commands us to do something, to go, therefore, and make disciples. He also said that you are the light of the world, and he wants us to shine our light before men. Tonight, we kind of have a theme going. I don't know if you realized it or not, but we've got this wonderful kind of shiny bling curtain in the background there that's driving our video cameras nuts and just sparkling and shining, and you almost can't look away from it. I mean, tonight it may be kind of hard while I'm preaching. I'll try and preach loud so that you can stay focused and not stare at the curtain in the back. But we've got this shiny curtain, and also we sang tonight, shine your light and let the whole world see what's going on in our hearts, Jesus. We want to shine our light to the world. And so in Daniel, the 12th chapter, we find a verse, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3, says this. It says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, I want you to notice something, that this is describing a certain group of people. And this group of people are those who are wise. Now, our graduates, we know that we have imparted the wisdom of God to you. We have given you the knowledge of God. We've opened up the word together. You guys have learned. You guys have studied. You guys have done those three things, commit, learn, and grow while you've been here. And now you have the wisdom of God, and the Bible describes you. And those of us that are also wise in this place, it says, those who are wise shall do something. We shall shine. We shall shine. Like the brightness of the firmament. You know, when the sun's up at noonday and you almost can't look up at the sky without squinting, those that are wise shall shine. We will command attention. We will produce something that others can come and warm up to, that others can appreciate. We shall shine. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. See, there is a job that you have to do as a Christian, not just as a graduate, but as a Christian in this place. And that is that you are to shine. You are to shine your light. You are the light of the world. And you are to shine your light, the Bible says, before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. See, we have a job to do. There are people that are lost. There are people that are dying. There is a world out there waiting to hear about Jesus. And if we cover up our light, if we hide it under the basket, if we hide it under the bed, if we don't place it in that place where it can be seen, then we're not doing our job. And so tonight, yes, we're graduating. Yes, we're doing something, but this is the commencement part of the night. And commencement really means beginning. It's the start. It's the opening. It's getting you guys out the gate to go and do what God has called you to do. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to shine your light. Shine your light before men. Show what it is that God has done in your heart and in your life. I have a little video I'd like you to watch on the overhead screens. Just turn your attention there for a moment. This is your light. And your light spreads God's love. Without it, you are in complete darkness. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Your light can do great things. Your light can inspire. can reach the lost. Your light can change lives. Your light can love. Without it, we would all be lost in the darkness. So shine God's love for the world to see. There was a man by the name of Abram. You know him as Abraham in the book of Genesis. And in our covenants class, we spent a bit of time in Genesis chapter number 15. If you want to turn there with me, those of you that have your Bibles. And God was giving some promises to Abram. Abram said, God, how am I going to know this is going to be? Genesis chapter 15, we read this in verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 6. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse number 5, then he brought him outside and said, look at this. Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse number 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. A couple of things that I want you to think about as you move forward, graduates. And all of us that are Christians in this place, you can think about these things too. Like I said, I'm not just speaking to them, I'm speaking to all of us in this room. Things to think about as you move forward. Number one is do not be afraid. Very first thing that God speaks to Abram after these things had happened, he says, Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward in verse number 1. Do not be afraid. You have been taught faith. You have been taught the covenant. You've been taught the kingdom. God is with you and he is your shield. He is also your exceeding great reward. Money is not your reward, nor fame, nor acceptance or approval of men. No, the one who exceeds them all is God himself, and he is our reward. Therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to believe God. Don't be afraid to move forward. Don't be afraid to take a risk. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to do. Why? Because God is your God, and he is your shield. He will guard you. He will surround you. He will wrap his arms around you and cover you and protect you. God is your God, and if you are in covenant with him, then your enemies are his enemies, and his enemies are your enemies. Your resources are his resources, but his resources are your resources. Therefore, what can man do to me? Whom shall I fear? Therefore, if God is on our side, then who then can be against us? Don't be afraid. Second thing as you move forward is this. Look now toward heaven. When Abram starts asking God questions, starts saying, God, how what are you going to give me, God? Because I have no heir, and the one born in my house, he's my heir. And God, what can you do for me, seeing as I go childless? See, Abram asked the same question twice. Now, I know when I start rambling with God and asking the same question twice, a lot of times I need God to interrupt. And here comes God, and he starts speaking to Abram, and he says these words to Abram. He says in verse number 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. In other words, Abram, look up. Don't look at your body. Don't look at how old you are. Don't look at how weak you are. Don't look at the resources that you have on hand. Abram, don't look at the natural things. Don't look at what's surrounding you. Don't look at the things that are taking place here on the earth. No, Abram, take a look up. Come on outside with me. Let's take a walk, Abram. I want you to look up towards heaven. I want you to see those stars up there in the heavens. Try and count them, Abram, if you can. You see, in Israel in those days, Abram could look up and actually see the stars. San Bernardino, we walk outside and we go, one. No, that's a plane. But Abram walked outside and what happened? He looked up and he probably looked into the Milky Way. Probably looked and saw the stars and the galaxies that are formed of millions, even billions of stars. And God is saying, just try, Abram, and count them. Try and see if you can. So shall your descendants be. See, Abram was asking a question about the promise. He was saying, God, what are you going to give me because I go childless and I don't have an heir. One who is my heir isn't even of my house, God. And God says, look at Abram, Your descendants will be like those stars. They're going to shine forth the glory of God. God made a promise that all the earth would be filled with his glory. That's you and I shining our light here on the earth, surrounding and going throughout the world from the Inland Empire all the way around the planet. Graduates, don't be afraid and look up now to the heavens. Look now toward heaven. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at the natural. Don't look at the things that are going on around you. Some of you guys had lack. Some of you guys thought you weren't going to make it. You thought you didn't have the finances. You didn't have the time. You didn't have the talent. You couldn't read very good. You couldn't do the finals. You know, I love what Pastor Adam said. Thank you to those who gave a final. Well, you know, I gave a final, but I gave them all the answers before. So, you know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other, I guess. Ashley was talking about, you know, here she is, she's got a great job, she's got her master's, and then she doesn't have a great job. She's away from what's natural and what's comfortable. And God is pushing her out, but he says, don't look at what your natural things are. Look now toward heaven. You've been taught tons of good old Bible survey, history, and good old theology. All this points to heaven. When we look up, we see beyond the mountains that blind us from our destiny and the valleys we will encounter along the way. Heaven will guide us. Just like a ship in a fog in the middle of the night can look towards heaven and see the stars and navigate. You and I as Christians, as we look towards heaven, God will guide our way. Final thing tonight that God told Abram is to believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. After God speaks all these things to Abram, after God takes a walk with Abram, shows him, take a look up toward the sky. Look at what it says. This is the testimony that Abram left. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, quoted many times in the New Testament, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. See, Abram was accounted as a righteous man. It was credited to his account that he was righteous. What does that mean? He was in the right position with God, doing the right thing with God. Abram was accounted as righteous, not because of how cool he was, how smart he was, good looking. Wasn't accounted because of how much wealth he had, and he was a very wealthy man. No, it was because of one thing, that he believed in the Lord. That he looked past his own circumstances. He looked up toward heaven, and he believed in what God had told him. He believed the promise of God. And therefore, God says, that is righteousness. That's the right thing. That's the right way. That's my will, my way. Listen, you've been taught grace. You've been taught stewardship. You've been taught the Holy Spirit class, and you've been taught cardiology, which had no final, by the way. But you know that this is not about your age, about your gender, about your race, your education, or your wealth. This is about God and his ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. We know that as grace. And what happens when you get your eyes off of yourself and you get your eyes onto God and you look to the one who promised as faithful? The ability of God comes in where you couldn't do it, and now God gets the job done on your behalf. Graduating class of 2011, shine your light. Go to the highways and byways. Preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Many of you, maybe that doesn't mean that you'll be standing behind a pulpit. Maybe you won't be standing in a church, but maybe you'll be standing on the job. Maybe you'll be standing in your neighborhood. Maybe you'll be standing out there in the community or in the business world. Maybe you're in the marketplace. Maybe you're going to go on to another college and there you're going to shine your light. But the Bible says that those who know their God will do great exploits. And we are believing God for great things in each and every one of your lives, because God is a great God and he is faithful. So as you move forward to go shine your light, don't be afraid. Keep looking toward heaven and believe in the Lord. Let's give the Lord a great big praise tonight.